Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see you here this morning as we gather together to worship the one true and living God. I'd like to extend a special welcome to everyone here today and an extra special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us and also those who are joining us via live stream. So would you receive this call to worship this morning? Let us worship God today, for God is great. God has blessed us with life, with faith, and with community. Let us worship God today, for God is good. God forgives us, He encourages us, and loves us with a jealous love. Let us worship our God today because we are His people. So would you please join in singing praises to the King this morning.
Good morning again. Our offering this morning is for the Pastor Fund, and that's how we support our pastors. So our first song is Shout to the Lord, and we'll receive the offering during that time, and then we'll have a prayer at the end of that.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for this day that we can have to come and corporately worship You. We thank You so much for all You have done. And specifically, we also want to continue to focus on who You are. You are a glorious God who loves and cares for us so much. We thank You for all of Your blessings, and we just give back a portion of that to You. in our tithes and offerings today. Pray that you would bless the pastors and that we as a congregation would be reminded of what the pastor's main role, and that is to equip the saints to do the work that you have called us to do, to share the good news with our neighbors, to show an example to those around us how a life lived for you is supposed to be. We thank you for your love and your forgiveness, and most importantly, for sending your son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
In Sunday school, we were learning about Jonah, and we think of that as a Bible story, but sometimes I think outside the box now and then, and I was thinking about Jonah. It doesn't say if he was married or not, and sometimes men aren't the most expressive, but I was just trying to imagine Jonah going on a business trip, and he like headed for Tarshish and turned out the way it did, and he come back home, and his wife said, "So how did it go?" And he said, "It was good." And it just doesn't 100% describe it, but the story of Jonah tells how God just had a passion for not only Jonah, but also for the people of Nineveh and the animals and all that he had created. So our first song is "How Great Thou Art."
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the roar.
Splendor.
could rescue me from my folly? Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him Father? Only a holy God, only my holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God.
You are holy. This is an echo song. Men start out and ladies echo, and yeah, you have to stand up to sing this song. Gets a little high if you stand on your tiptoes. You can.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love.
See you.
breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Let's read Psalm 115, 1 together. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. That we exist and that we're here today. And we just acknowledge that you love us and we receive that. And we just bring to you our events of the week, knowing that you are in them and you are the good God that helped us through them. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward at this time for the children's story. Gather here on the front bench. Hi. Well, good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Super good.
Super good. All right. Glad you came. Glad you came forward for the story this morning. So I have a question for you this morning, and that question is, have you ever heard the word jealous?
Yeah.
So if you've heard the word jealous, could you give me a definition? What does it mean? When you want something that someone else has, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Something gets a new toy and you don't have one and your parents don't let you get any more toys.
Oh.
So you're jealous.
Exactly. That's perfect. That's exactly what it means. So usually jealous is something that we think of as not being good, being something negative. That's because jealousy is usually a result of sin. So I have some Bible verses. Is jealous a bad word? It's not a bad word to say. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
So I have a Bible verse on there.
I'm making noise with my Bible.
You bet. One for you, and one for you. Okay, can someone read that Bible verse?
I can.
Jericho is going to read it for us.
Do not worship any other god for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Exodus 34, 14.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly what it says. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. So the Bible says that God is jealous. In fact, it says that's what his name is. His name is Jealous. So God is jealous when we give our attention, give our time, give it to something other than him. Those are the things that we give our attention and time to, are sometimes called idols or other gods. God becomes jealous for our time and attention because he wants us to love him with all of our hearts.
Yeah, but I love him too much.
You love God too much. I don't think that's possible. But that's good. Keep on loving him like that. Okay. Let's say this verse together one more time. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Okay? So keep that in mind. That remember that God loves you dearly, and he wants you to love him back more than you possibly can. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you, and then you can get a snack and return to your parents. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for these children. I pray, Father God, you would bless them. I pray, Father God, you would give them an understanding of your deep love for them as individuals. And also pray, Father God, you would give them the ability to connect with you. And I ask, Father God, for the salvation of their souls, that they would respond to your love and receive you as their Lord and Savior. So I ask for your blessing upon these children today, in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, amen. Okay, you can have a snack and then head back to your parents. Thank you for coming front. They're all the same. Well, again, greetings in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, that name above all names. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepare for this message. I certainly do covet and appreciate your prayers. And just an update on Alvin Good. Alvin Good is still in the hospital. He is in the rehab section of the hospital undergoing therapy. Barring any setbacks, he is hopefully coming home on Tuesday. So he's looking forward to that. His goal is to get back home so he can mow his grass. So with all the rain we've had, he'll have plenty of grass to mow. Also, an update on Esther Mae Sensenig. She's still in the hospital. I spoke to her by phone last evening. And barring any setbacks for her, she's hoping to return home tomorrow. So that's just a quick update on the messages you had coming through the phone tree about people in the hospital. So I'd just like to pause and have a word of prayer for these two persons. Father God, we just thank you again for your deep love for us. And I pray for Alvin as he spends time in the hospital undergoing therapy. I pray you would give him the physical strength he needs to do the therapy. And I pray you would continue to strengthen his body. And I pray for Janet as she goes in to see him, that you give her the physical strength that she needs to travel back and forth to visit him. We also lift up Esther Mae Sensenig to your throne of grace. Thank you for the healing that has taken place in her body. And we ask that that would continue. And we just pray that as she regains strength, and we pray that she would continue to do that, that she'd be able to return home be restored to health. So we ask for your healing touch upon these two persons and any other persons who would need physical healing. We ask for that in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, and ask for your blessing upon, especially upon Alvin and upon Esther Mae. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're going to be continuing our summer series entitled Idols of the Heart. On August the 1st, Pastor Tony introduced this series by reminding us of God's unending and unchanging deep love for each one of us. So today, the title of the message is God is Jealous for Us. And it's based upon Exodus 34:14. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. So just a bit of background information from Exodus. In Exodus 24, verse 12, God says to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I've written for their instruction. So Moses responds by going up on the mountain, and a cloud covers it as the glory of the Lord settles on Mount Sinai. Then in Exodus 24:18, it says, Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed up on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights. So during this time on the mountain, God gave Moses numerous instructions. And then in Exodus 31:18, we read this. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. So God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Then in Exodus 32, verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and they said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So Moses obliges the people, and the Bible says he made an idol in the shape of a calf by fashioning it with a tool. The people began to worship this golden calf, saying, these are the gods who brought us up out of Egypt. So when Moses comes back down the mountain and sees what is going on, he gets very angry and he throws the tablets to the ground. shattering them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. As Moses confronts Aaron about what has happened, this is basically what Aaron says. You know how prone these people are to sin. So I gathered gold from them. We threw it into the fire, and, well, this golden calf came out. So how absurd of an excuse is that? We just threw it in the fire and this golden calf came out. But think about the excuses we use in our lives when God convicts us of some form of idolatry or some other sin. I suspect that my excuses and your excuses are just as absurd to our God, whose name is Jealous. See, there were serious consequences for this sin of adultery the people had committed. And God referred to them as a stiff-necked people in Exodus 33. In Exodus 33, Moses also asked God to show him his glory, and God tells Moses he cannot see him or see his face, but will allow him to see his back as he passes by Moses. Then we come to Exodus 34, where Moses receives new tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments. So I'd like to read Exodus 34, beginning at verse 8 to verse 15. Exodus 34, verse 8. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. O Lord, I have found favor in your eyes, he said. Then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I'm making a new covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Ammonites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you're going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land, for when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you, and you will eat their sacrifices. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Perhaps when we hear the Bible say that God is characterized by jealousy and that his name is jealous, we experience this internal protest as we say to ourselves, wait a minute. Isn't jealousy a sin? Normally, the word jealousy carries a negative connotation. Throughout the New Testament, in places like Romans 13:13 and Galatians 5:20, it is listed as a vice and not a virtue. So when we typically think of jealousy, we tend to think of things like a high school boyfriend who becomes upset even if his girlfriend makes eye contact with another guy. Or maybe a husband or a wife who does not trust their spouse to even hold a conversation with someone of the opposite sex without them becoming jealous. Another form of jealousy is when someone delights in the failure of others because he or she is jealous. Such jealousy is rooted in a self-serving hatred or malice of someone because you want what they have. Godly jealousy is a zeal to protect another or to protect and preserve something that is precious. So there's a big difference between being jealous of someone and being jealous for someone. True love is never jealous of someone, but is always jealous for the person that you love. I believe that's what the Bible means when it says God is jealous. He's a jealous God, and His name is jealous. So perhaps we can understand this kind of jealousy by this illustration. So suppose you're a father. Let's imagine you go to the door one day, the doorbell rings, you go to answer the door, and there stands this man who appears to be about 40 years old. He informs you that he and your 14-year-old daughter met in an online chat room, and that he and your daughter have determined that they are madly in love. So he says, he and your daughter have decided to elope to somewhere where they permit a girl her age to marry without parental consent, and he's there today to pick her up, to take her away. Now, assuming that you'd be able to restrain yourself long enough to figure out what you're feeling, you'd probably find yourself, among other things, feeling very jealous for your daughter. You're not jealous of the man, but you're jealous for your daughter because you love her dearly and want what's best for her. So with God's restraining hand guiding you, you will act swiftly and legally to remove this stranger from your daughter's life and get her some wise counsel on proper relationships and affections. Why? Because you love her deeply and you know what's best for her. That's how it is with God. He loves us deeply. He knows what's best for us. Therefore, He is jealous for our love and our worship. God is jealous for you. The great I Am is also known as jealous. The prophet Ezekiel used a powerful analogy to describe what idolatry feels like to God. In Ezekiel 37:23-37a, the scripture says, "For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. They committed adultery with their idols." The deep pain of having an unfaithful spouse is surely one of the most agonizing human experiences because it involves incredible betrayal of commitment and trust. Yet this is how Israel and we are described when we allow our affection and time to be directed at someone or something else other than God. When we worship idols, God is jealous. God is jealous for us. In Deuteronomy 4:24, under the heading in my Bible that says, "Idolatry forbidden," we read these words: "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." God is a consuming fire because He is morally perfect and He hates sin. Now, as I was preparing for this message, I was overcome with the truth of how much God hates sin, which includes the sin of idolatry. Do we really, truly understand the seriousness. Of idolatry or any other sin. Perhaps we have a difficult time appreciating God's view of sin because, well, maybe we tend to put different kinds of sin in different categories and consider some to be worse sins than others. For example, in Matthew 5:21 and 22, Jesus teaches that if we are angry with our brother, then we've already committed murder in our hearts. So do we really believe that? I mean, come on. Don't I have a right to be angry because of what they did? We must understand that sin, all sin, is a slap in the face of Almighty God. And He does not and will not tolerate sin because His name is jealous. So how should we respond to God's jealousy? I believe God is a jealous God because of His deep love for each one of us here today and for every human being on the face of this earth. Because God loves us so much, we should devote ourselves wholeheartedly to Him and serve Him and worship Him and Him only. We must worship God and God alone. So even if we're not bowing down to and worshiping physical images of false gods, I believe the sin of idolatry is a very real issue today. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Idolatry is anything that causes us to think less of or about God. What idols do we worship today? Perhaps it's self-righteous pride, money, self-indulging pleasures, hobbies which include our grown-up toys, and the list could go on and on and on. Now, please understand, some of these things are not necessarily bad in and of themselves. We need money in order to live. God is a giver of good gifts, and His gifts to us are many. It's when we begin to value something, anything, above God and expect that thing to bring us contentment, and when we begin to draw our identity from that thing instead of God, then we've begun to make an idol in our lives. God and God alone is sufficient to meet all of our needs. When we view these gifts and blessings from God for what they are, gifts, not gods. They're gifts, not gods. So this morning, I'd just like to spend 1 minute just 1 minute in silence before God so that we can ask Him to show us if there's any idols that we have in our lives. So if and when He reveals anything to you, please respond to that revelation with a spirit of repentance and ask God for His forgiveness. So would you bow your heads and just join me for 1 minute of silence, asking God to speak to our hearts. So if God has revealed something to you during that time of silence, please respond in obedience and repentance to God. Because I believe that is what he desires from his people. So please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you that you are a God that loves us with a jealous love. Your word tells us that your name is jealous. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here today that as we journey through life, you would help us, Almighty God, to maintain our focus, our affection, our love, our adoration upon you. Remember that how much you love us, and you're desiring for each one of us to love you in return. So I pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that as we continue on our journey through life, that you would continue to draw us closer to you and help us to remain focused and worship you and you alone, the one true and living God. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Closing song is called The Goodness of God. It's a testimony for Ann and I, and I think we can all relate to. It talks about all the ways that God has been good. Thank you.
Our God calls us as a body of believers here at Bumsville Mennonite Church to reflect Christ's love and love each other to one another and to the world around us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So in March of 2020, COVID brought our Sunday morning worship services to an abrupt pause. This also affected the before and after school program that had been in operation in our church fellowship hall, and also the TNT Youth Center was also operating in our fellowship hall on Friday evenings. Since then, there's been much soul searching, much prayer, and much discernment about the future of these two important outreaches into our community. The need for these two ministries has not gone away. In fact, if anything, I believe the need has become even greater than ever before due to what's happening in the world around us. So on July 18th, Todd Weber shared how God spoke to him through a dream about reopening the youth center in our fellowship hall in the church basement. Since then, I've been in conversation with TNT Youth Ministries about this possibility and about what that could look like to reopen this youth center without being under the umbrella, so to speak, of TNT. What I discovered is that this is exactly what the vision TNT has for the youth centers that are operating in the different churches. TNT will still be available for any training we may need or any assistance if we encounter a situation where we need some wise counsel. So as we make this transition and reopen the youth center next month, on September the 10th, the youth center will be called Elevate Youth Center, with the idea of lifting or elevating youth out of hopelessness and introducing them to Jesus, our only hope. So I've invited Dave Knowles and Kurt Zimmerman to come this morning from TNT Youth Ministries. Invite them to come, just share a few words, and I think then Kurt will have a prayer of blessing for this transition. So would you come and share?
Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Dave Knowles. I am the ministry director at TNT Youth Ministries. And, you know, as we began to talk with Todd and with Larry about the reopening and what does that look like and how do we move forward from here, you know, so a lot of shifting has been going on at TNT as well. Many of you may know that Mike Wagner is no longer the executive director and Kurt Zimmerman has stepped into that position. And, you know, our heart and our hope at TNT all along has been that we would see teenagers transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, right? And we believe that that can only happen when the local church gets involved. Like, that is impossible without the support and the help and the love of the local church. And so our dream, even with the youth centers that we have, is that the local church would be involved to a greater degree. In fact, so much that we have found that in our youth centers, the ones that the churches have taken responsibility for the youth center and TNT has stepped back, we have seen more results. We have seen more teenagers transformed by the love of Jesus than those who remain solely under the care and operation of TNT. And so it's our dream and our hope that churches would do more like what you're doing and would step up and would say, we want to take responsibility for these youth centers. We can walk alongside you, we can give you trainings, we can help you whenever you need help, but for you to take responsibility for these youth centers, we have seen many more lives transformed by Jesus than if we try to do it ourselves. And so as we had conversation with Larry and with Todd, and they were saying, oh, you know, we think we might want to come out from underneath TNT, our first response was, yes! That's awesome! That's exactly what our heart is. And so we are excited to see what God does in and through your church. as you bring these young kids in, as you bring these teenagers in, who many of them do not know Jesus, who many of them have not stepped foot into a church building before, and they see what the love of Jesus can do through the lives that you live in front of them, is going to be absolutely incredible.
Yeah, so we would just love to be able to pray over any staff that is going to be a part of this after-school program, any staff that's going to be involved with Elevate. We would just love to, yeah, just if you, I'm just going to welcome you up here right now, and so we can just kind of say a prayer over you as you reach out to this community. So yeah, if you just don't mind coming up, that'd be great. Would you just join me in prayer for this amazing team? Father God, we just know that having a relationship with you doesn't have to always involve programs, doesn't always have to involve just all these different strategic planning meetings and things like that. Lord, we just know that it's all about relationship with you. We recognize, Lord, that you are divine and you desire relationship with us. And I'm just so thankful, Lord, that Bowmansville has said, you know, we want to be a church that reaches out to the youth in this community, that we want to reach the next generation for your gospel, for your glory. And so, Lord, as we talk about this after-school program, if we talk about Elevate Youth Center coming in and just saying, you know what, we want to be we want to glorify you by reaching this generation. I just pray a blessing and just ask, Lord, that you would strengthen this team to be able to do that well. Lord, that you would supernaturally create relationships between adults and teenagers. That's not always an easy thing to do, but Lord, that this building and this place, that would happen. I pray, Lord, that you would tug on the hearts of young lives to say, you need to come here to hear, to be loved, to hear about the great goodness that you bring. So, Lord, we just ask that many students this year would come out to the youth center, would come out to the after-school programming. Lord, that we would see many lives in this building be transformed. Lord, that this year we would see baptisms and salvations all for your glory. That, Lord, that this generation, that this community would be turned upside down because of something like this. So, Lord, yeah, we just ask, Lord, right now, in the name of in Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would just do your work here in this place, Lord, that many students would be impacted, that you would, on the hearts of all these leaders that just say, we care about you, Lord, that they, as they answered the call to say, we care about the next generation and how important that is to do whatever it takes, Lord, to reach them, Lord, that you would just give them a sense of endurance through the tough times, that you'd give them a sense of patience, as working with teenagers is not always easy, and just a supernatural love for these individuals, Lord, as they walk through the building. And I just pray, Lord, that you just, that many things would happen, that there would just be a feeling and an expectation knowing that you're part of this, that it's not something that we have just drummed up, but Lord, this is because your presence is here and your message needs to get out to this community. So Lord, we just ask that, many great things would happen here in this building, here in this community. Many lives would be touched, that students would come out, would show up, and Lord, that you would just grow this team spiritually, Lord, that they would just have a deeper desire to know you, and out of that overflow, Lord, would just be able to minister to these young lives so well. So Lord, we just thank you, and we just like ask, Lord, that you would just have your work here in this people. So thank you, Jesus, for loving us and just being here with us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I won't be long, I promise. Well, thank you. I appreciate Dave and Kurt coming this morning. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, everyone who's volunteering to serve on the BNA staff or the Youth Center staff. Thank you very much. One more thing before we go. The Pray For Me campaign is getting ready to kick off because school is just around the corner. So if you have a Pray For Me campaign guidebook that you're not using, please return that to Donna Horst. And here's an announcement for parents, okay? Today you will have bookmarks in your mailbox that your student should color and return to Donna Horst. If you would like them to get colored today, Donna will be at the top or out here by the carport with markers so your student can color them this morning and hand them back to her right away. Because if you take them home, chances of them returning get smaller. So anyway, just send your student out to the carport door and Donna will be there. Bring that bookmark along and you can color them today and return them to her. Okay, thank you very much for all you who are involved in the Pray For Me campaign also. So thank you so much for your willingness to volunteer and to serve God in these ways. So would you stand now to receive this benediction? Now as we go, may the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you all. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.